Thank you, Jesus. This is Sunday morning. This is April the 19th, 2020. And we're going to do our teachings first. This is, the first teaching is created to reign. God don't make no junk. You're created to be to be winners and to win. It's, you could say it's in your DNA. It's just programmed in you for you to win. And God has given us everything we need to succeed. All right, Genesis 1. Created to reign. Verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the heaven and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, a greater light to rule the day and a lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them. You ever notice everything he said and then he saw? And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply, fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So God said, He saw what he didn't want, and he began to speak what he did want. And he did it, and then he created the man to do exactly what he did. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree-yielding seed, to it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, even in the morning, the sixth day. So we see this is what God laid down. This is how he did it. Then he made man after his likeness and in his image. God creates. God is the creator. He made man to create. You're always made to create. Create whatever you wanted, not to just go with what you saw or get upset by what you hear or what you might see is going on in the earth. You have the power and ability to change it. I talked to somebody yesterday. It was upset about the vaccine thing, and maybe they're going to force us to do this and force us to do that. And I said, why don't you quit worrying about it, and why don't you start changing laws? Why don't you start changing rules, regulations, and laws to your advantage? Is that what God did? Did he leave the earth in that mess that it was in? No. See, the devil had been there too. And so he took it into his own hands to put it back in order. We have a new opportunity. We've got 1,000 years before us to get this earth back in order. And we're not going to have any opposition. That's what the great part of it is about. No opposition. 1,000 years. Do you think it's just going to all be fixed just because the reset happens? No. The devil's thrown in the pit? No. We've got to teach the earth how to be who they're supposed to be, how to reign in life. That's what this ministry is all about. The children of Israel came out of Egypt, and what happened? They had to be taught how to go in and reign on their land because they were so used to being slaves. They were so used to being told what they could do or could not do, when to eat, when to sleep, when to go to work. That's exactly where we are today. Lord gave me a thought yesterday. I wrote it down. It's not the end. And we need to quit saying it's the end. The minister that we were talking about, the Lord did speak to me about him. He's been crucial in bringing third heaven authority to the body of Christ to get them to begin to speak and decree. And because he believes in the rapture, that will alter your way of thinking if you believe in that. If you let the futurism doctrine, it will keep you from seeing things accurately. But on the other side of it, when you think rapture, you think the end. The end. So when you don't, that's no longer the end. It's really not the end. It's a new beginning. I'd say 1,000 years, that's a lot. Mm-hmm. It's a new beginning. It's not the end. It's the end of what we've known, but it's the beginning of something new. Okay, so let's don't get confused about that, because it's like terminology gets people messed up in their thinking. No, this isn't the end. It is the end of the church age, but it's the beginning of the kingdom age. New time. All right, chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because it is in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. See, this what's going to be good about the seventh day is we're going to be able to create and then rest. Rest in it. Rest in it. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. And there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And we thought that our sprinkler systems were man's idea. No, God did it in the beginning. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Let me say something here. The Lord just gave me a revelation about something. Man's always looking for ways to not have to work. You know why? Because he was made not to work. He was made to reign. See, God created all of this, even put a sprinkler system in there where man didn't have to do anything. He said, tend the garden, but he didn't have to find a way to haul water to do it. The mist came up and watered the garden. The old work by the sweat of your brow was the curse. Rest is maintaining order. It's kind of like a bunch of rowdy kids. When mama's sitting up there and observing, they're pretty good. She leaves the room and all hell breaks loose. Ever get on the phone and your kids tear down the house? We used to have that happen all the time. It's back whenever you had sharp cards on your phones and we didn't have cell phones. There wasn't any cordless phones. And so if you're going to talk on the phone to your friends, which that's about all you did, and deal with kids all day, cook and clean. And I can remember making faces and threatening, you know, while I saw Dana take a new box of Kleenex and pull every Kleenex and rip it out in the floor. You know, you think about that. That's how the devil is, see? We were made to oversee and to rule and reign, not to work by the sweat of our brow. See, that's what got us into trouble in the first place. People are just so, that's how we've been so brainwashed and blind. It's because all we've done is like go to our jobs, go home, eat supper, put your pajamas on, watch a few hours of TV, go to bed, and then you wake up again. Here we start the whole process over again. This happens over and over and over and over and over and over. Nobody knows what's going on. Nobody cares. Nobody's taking authority over anything. Everything's just, the devil's just running roughshod, and that's what's happened to our earth. Because we didn't have any rulers and reigners. We didn't have anybody sitting, resting in their thrones, taking authority. A few have always done that, but most didn't. All right. Where did I stop? Okay. And the Lord God planted a garden, verse 8, eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow. The Lord God made the stuff grow, every tree that is pleasant in to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted, became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is it which compasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold that of that land is good. There is bedlam and onyx stone. See, the devil's gone in with his deep staters, and he has mined these countries that are rich. This was in Africa. That's where all the diamond mines are and all the lot of rich stuff. There's probably been not another country been so ravaged, and they've really gone after their children over there too. Yeah. And the name of the second river is Gihon, and the same is it that compasses the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat, freely eat. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. The Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And he gave names to all the cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. Now, how did he tend? How did he dress? Anybody got a clue? He spoke. He didn't work. He reigned. He ruled. He tended to stuff. He didn't, you know, it's like a garden. If you have a big garden or just a garden, period, and every day you tend to a little bit, it'll stay nice. But you let it go a few weeks, before you know it, you got stuff in there you don't want. You got bugs, you got little varmints in there eating stuff. See? Okay, right there, this one right here. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. And I put here, believe me, she was no help. She was no help. All right, Genesis 3. Adam had a pretty good setup. He was the ruler of the earth. He was able to rule and reign. didn't really have to work. All he had to do when something got out of line was to speak it back into line, just like God did. Just like God did a trial run and let Adam name the animals. So there was God's perfect will for man right there. And we're going to see it through Genesis to Revelation. His main purpose for us, we were made to serve Him, but His main purpose for us was to rule and reign, created to reign. Not the horrible stuff that we've seen all of these many thousands of years that man has toiled and gone through. That was not God's plan. Not at all. All right, Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, He told thee that thou wast naked. Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. The Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon the belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow on thy conception, and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. Till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for the dust art that thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Okay. So, this was never what God wanted. Down here it says, And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the web of the tree of life. So the very garden that God created for man to rule and reign, he had to be barred from because he decided to serve another master. He got tricked into giving up his throne. From the beginning of man, God has had a plan that man would rule and reign. Man was created to rule and reign in his domain. Romans 5:17, this is the foundational scripture for this ministry. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So since they had to bar the garden so they couldn't go back in and eat of the tree of life, because if they had eaten of the tree of life in a fallen state, there would be nothing God could have done. They would have lived in eternal under the devil forever. I mean, it's bad enough what little we put up with him today as compared to that day. But still, because of what Jesus did, we now can rule and reign. I agree with Brother Copeland on this one, and I've heard him say it more than one time, that man is not created to work. That was not God's purpose. And that your job should be because you want a seed to sow. Instead of, I gotta make a living. I gotta. That eternal thing, that pressure, that God can't take care of us. We haven't learned to totally let Him take care of us. We think we have to put our hand to it to help ourselves. That's why we go into a pharmacy and you see thousands of aids to help us just get through life. Because God made us complete, which He's been showing us that. He's made us complete in Him. But under that other system, the only way to get by is means. An ends to a mean. Working by the sweat of your brow. Paying in money for your retirement. Retiring. Dying. And they steal all your money. Or medical agencies that give you the disease, vaccinate you, give you the disease, and then keep you sick all your life, keep you coming back, and not just giving you enough to get by to make sure they hold out until you're old, just to rape from you, to steal, kill, and destroy, take all your money. There's a system right there. You know what makes me feel so bad for the elite? If they don't realize He's going to take them to hell with Him. He's promised them everything. And He's convinced them that He's more powerful than God. And that He owns it all. And He is temporarily the God of this world. Until the earth lease runs out. But what's so sad is they are deceived into believing that they're going to do all of these things in the moment they die. They're going to say, we've been lied to. They're going to be like the man. Oh, Abraham, would you dip, just your finger in that water and just put it on my tongue? Because I'm in torment in these flames. Would you send someone to tell my brothers? Would you send someone to tell the rest of them? Don't do this. We're wrong. You say, well, if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they're not going to listen to me. Even though one rose from the dead, they're not going to listen. That's the sad part for me, is to know that those that won't turn, those who won't listen. I believe that probably all of them could turn. Now, do they deserve to die? Most definitely. Especially those who have raped children and drank. If you'll notice, those that wear that red ring, it means that they have killed a child in sacrifice. A lot of the elites wear the ring, or the even movie stars, it's a red ring, and that symbolizes they have sacrificed a child. They had to do it to get that ring. So, because of Jesus, He brought us back to our garden to rule and reign through the new birth. So what is our excuse today? Just like Eve, she didn't apparently know what God really said. If we do not know what God's word really says, then how will we ever rule and reign? Matthew 25. It's really warm in here. Goodness, I've got... Okay, Matthew 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish and 5 of them were wise. When you hear something that you don't like, whether it be on WeGo, whether it be on the news, you say, oh no, no, it's going to be this way. Shut your mouth. Shut your boastful, lying mouth. No, it's going to be the way I say. I'm the one that has rightful position to rule and reign here. I'm the rightful heir, not you. Okay. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, he cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Yesterday, I think it was yesterday, I kept thinking about, the Lord brought to mind, that the church has been in socialism. What's socialism? Just handouts. They don't know how to pray for themselves. They really don't read enough of the Bible to do anything, to renew their minds in any respect. They don't have time. They're too busy going to work, getting up, going to soccer practice or whatever else. So the church has basically been on welfare. They're just waiting for their government check every month, their spiritual handout, and they call people they know that can get answers to prayer and plague them night and day to pray for every little silly little something that comes down the pike. Oh, please pray! Well, you know what? Why don't you pray? I don't even know in the scriptures where it says that we're supposed to pray for everybody and their dog. It doesn't say that. It tells us to pray the Lord's Prayer. It tells us to, when you go in secret and petition your Father, and He'll reward openly, tells us to pray His kingdom come, His will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And it's no wonder that our whole world is nearly got taken over by socialism. I wonder why that happened. It happens in the spirit first. Church been under socialism. It's just reflected in the natural. Where the church is and what they've done and what they're up to, you're going to see it in the world. That's why we are the ones that have to change it. Our president can just do so much. I've said it 100 times probably. We are the power behind the president. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven. See, we're talking about the kingdom of heaven here. Where are we fixing to step into? The kingdom age. Where His kingdom come, His will be done, will be on earth as it is in heaven. All right. Half the virgins didn't prepare. How do you prepare? Romans 12, 1 and 2. Renew your mind with the word of God so that you can know His will. If somebody left you $1 million, do you think you might read the will? If you found out, you know what, I heard the other day that somebody left you a bunch of money and you'd get a hold of that will as fast as you could and you'd start reading it thoroughly, even with a probably magnifying glass to make sure you got every nugget out of there and every cent that belonged to you, you'd take. So, right here. Renew your mind. We must renew our minds to the ways of the kingdom of God. When we know God's will, then we can rule and reign with confidence. If we don't, we can be seduced like Eve was. That's obvious. Look at the world around you. Ruling and reigning is God's plan for man without question. Consider the children of Israel. Why did many fall dead in the wilderness? They refused God's will. They and His word, they would not go in and rule and reign. Okay, Numbers 13. Yeah, them virgins, they wanted to borrow the oil off of the ones that prepared, that learned how to rule and reign. They had stockpiled, their spirits were strong and stockpiled for what was coming, to do what the Lord required of them, and the others were not. Does it mean God doesn't love them? No. Does it mean they won't be in the millennial reign? No, not necessarily so. They just won't be doing anything. Okay, 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. Verse 17. And Moses sent them out to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get ye up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south, and came up unto Hebron, where Ahiman and Shishai and Talmi, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zion in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. It makes sense. Giants would have giant grapes, you know. And they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land where thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell on the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses, and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So, these are the people that did not believe God. They weren't prepared. And these were all the leaders. All of them were leaders. Okay, chapter 14. And the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron and the whole congregation, and unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Now I want you to remember this, what I'm speaking right now was the little word of prophecy that came forth. And they said, don't just think, I've heard this before. Listen again as if you've never heard it before. Okay. And they said one to another, let us make a captain, let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, and a land which floweth with milk and honey. Now God had brought them out of Egypt. He had drained the swamp, gave them a reset. Do you see here? In a natural kingdom, even for 1,000 years of peace, you're still going to have these people with these attitudes, with these mindsets that are going to have to be taught how to rule and reign. They've been under the lash all their life. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. The Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me, and how long will it be ere they believe me for all the things which I have shown or showed among them? I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. Now we know God doesn't do the smiting. The destroyer does that. People's actions loose the destroyer on their lives. And that's what happened. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for they brought us this people in thy might from among them. Brought us up. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. So the nations around them that didn't even know God believed in the glory and the power of God from what they saw, but the religious people of the day, oh, they're the worst. Now, if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. Now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is longsuffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. What did Moses do? He stood in the gap for these awful people. By no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of thy mercy, as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now these 10 times have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto thy fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. So what happened? He destroyed the ones, the leaders that went in and defied God. He didn't kill the people, because the people were a reflection of their leader. But the leaders, he wouldn't put up with it. He took them out. He said, no, you, and I think we're going to see some of that. Those that are not going to get on board, and they're just going to poo-poo everything God does and God's going to do and the world he's moving into, he'll just take them out. Because all they do is people listen to him. And people sometimes die or go to hell because they listen to him. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, hath followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil generation which murmur against me? I've heard the murmuring of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me, saying to them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bury your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil generation. that are gathered together against me in this wilderness, they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. All those mealy-mouthed preachers that wouldn't move on and wouldn't take the land and wanted to dwell in the past and want to keep on doing what they've been doing for 40, 50, 60 years. Bye-bye. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. Now the children of Israel decided to go up, and they got their posteriors handed to them on a platter, because God wasn't with them. See, they weren't going. They were rebelling against God to go in, and then they decided. God said, "You're not going in." They said, "Oh, now we'd be going in." And He said, "Oh no, you're not be going in. I ain't gonna be with you." And so they kicked them back to Hormah, even unto Hormah, right here. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them, and discomfited them, even unto Hormah. Oh, Lord, help them. All right, let's keep going. For the most part, most Christians I know, my partners excluded, of course, are victims. They come to God with pleading and begging, and they don't know how to rule and reign. It's going to be hard for them when we usher into the 1,000 years of ruling and reigning. How are they going to fit? They're going to have to sit, and they're going to have to begin to listen, and they're going to have to learn. While everybody else is running and raining and having a big old time, they're going to have to be learning, because they didn't learn it when they had the opportunity. Or they went on with church tradition. They got their welfare check on Sunday, a little sermon to get them through the week. And they might have to call somebody in between, you know, to pray for them. If that ain't spiritual welfare, I don't know what is. It's not even spiritual, it's more flesh. All right, Revelation 20. Created to reign. No wonder people are so unhappy. If you're not doing what you're called to do, you're disgruntled, you're miserable to be around. Revelation 21, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and of the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So it looks like to me that those that were martyred for Christ get a special resurrection. But the rest of the dead live not until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such a second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall what? Reign with him 1,000 years. From Genesis to Revelation, we're going to be reigning with him. The very thing God created Adam to do in the garden. Since this is a natural kingdom, there is a whole earth and masses of people that need to know how to rule and reign. I can safely say today that ruling and reigning for mankind is God's plan from Genesis to Revelation, which I've shown you. If it is so important to God, we do not want to fall short of it. His rest equals ruling and reigning. Do you think he's enjoyed sitting up there by himself, watching us get our backsides kicked for 6,000 years and watch the devil take over everything? Do you think he's enjoyed that? No. But he's going to have his seventh day, and he's going to get to see us do it like we were supposed to in the beginning. All right, Hebrews 3. Y'all getting my drift here today? Mm-hmm. We have to make up our minds, and we have to realize we were made to rule and reign. We were never made to be failures. We were never meant to be failures in any way. And we don't need to listen to the devil lie to us and convince us that there's no way out of the situation and there's no way we're going to win. All right, Hebrews 3:7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation and the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts and they have not known my ways. They didn't have renewed minds. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. We got to come out of these victim mentality ways, moaning around and acting like we're just can't put one foot in front of another. Maybe we ought to watch some movies about some kings running and reigning and see how it really works. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. See where I was going to stop with that. Okay. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So basically, they lived out their life and just bit the dust. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, that ye shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. You know, I was thinking about, you know, it's real easy to hear something and say, I don't believe that. That's what we ought to be saying to the devil. When he brings his life, nah, get out of town. No. Do you think I'm stupid or something? Are you Forrest Gump? You know, that's the way he is. Treat you like you're dumb as a stump. Because most Christians are when it comes to ruling and reigning and who they are. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, for he that had entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Think about the sparrow. Think about it. When he falls, the Lord observes it. How much more so his kings and priests. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. We've been given joint seating with him. Let's get a revelation of that. We're kings, seated with him. We're not just down here for the devil to kick us around. But we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Thank you, Lord. Rest. The word rest means reposing down or an abode. To settle down, to colonize, to cause, to desist. And there was a word there, sabbatism. Sabbatism is the repose of Christianity as a type of heaven. Matthew 6. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You can look throughout the Old and New Testaments and see how Satan has ruled over men. Men have not understood what it means to rule and reign. Well, God is evening the playing field. He is going to allow us to do that for 1,000 years without the devil's interference. Then he will be loosed for a season. How long is that? Only God knows. So we will see who really is ruling and reigning at the end of that period. Who's really serious and who is not. Jackie was asking me, well, why would he loose the devil, you know? I said, because we were the ones that had to put up with the devil, and we had to make the right choice. We had to decide to rule and reign. We had to decide to renew our mind. We had to decide to defy the devil and to obey God. And they ain't going to just get in on a free ride. They're going to have to make a choice too. And if they are deceivable, they'll be deceived. They'll have a choice too to make. Okay, let's go back to Matthew 25, verse 14. Now he's talking about the kingdom of heaven here. For the kingdom of heaven is if a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods, and unto one he gave 5 talents, another 2, another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. He that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. See, these are ruling, reigning. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And he said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. So you rule and reign over a little bit. I'm going to give you more to rule and reign over. So what he's saying here, this is the kingdom. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. And he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. He said unto them, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over these things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Ruling and reigning. Can't get away from it from beginning to end. Ruling and reigning. Then he which had received the 1 talent, Jesus taught ruling and reigning. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gathered where I have not strung. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which hath 10 talents. For every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is an accounting of ruling and reigning and then promotion. Mm-hmm. And he says it's the kingdom of heaven here. Kingdom of heaven? All right, Revelation 20. Back This time, verse 11. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. There's them Elijah bunches again. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Sounds like Matthew, doesn't it? During this time, we are not going to be sitting on clouds playing harps. We will be ruling and reigning and maintaining the peace. Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. We've got a lot of work ahead of us to get this world ready and in shape for the Lord's judging. All this hard training you've been going through is for a time that is vastly approaching. Just imagine a world without the devil. Just imagine that there will be people that live heaven on earth that will turn and rebel against him in the end. We are in the time of our lives that we really need to let go entirely of the victim mentality. We need to have the ruling and reigning mentality. 2 Timothy 2:12, the first part of that, if we suffer, we shall reign with him. How do we suffer? We deny the flesh. Okay, Revelation 1:1. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what this book is about. About him, his kingdom. Okay, Revelation 5. Just a few more scriptures. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven or on earth, neither under the earth, were able to open the book, neither to look thereon. I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. When he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. I ain't going to let you get away with not ruling and reigning anymore. This is our job. This is our inheritance. After this, I said, all said and done, what will we be doing? After all is said and done, after everything's over, what are we going to be doing? Okay, Revelation 22, you asked for it. Revelation 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river, a water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. The midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light for the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. We are never going to get away from ruling and reigning. That is our place, and that is the reason we were created. One of the reasons to rule and reign. This is always and forever to be God's plan for him to reign. Period. Got it?
Got it.
All right.